Long we find different things that people have experience of God in their own lives, in their own times, in their own world around them. We talked about God who is wild and untamable, yet also incredibly personal and intimate with us. Last week we thought about God who is our salvation. And how that affects a whole lot of things in our lives and in our world. And in today, in Psalm 111, we are reminded that God is known by God's works. We know God by what God does. According to the psalmist's own experience, God shows grace. God shows mercy. God provides food. God makes and is faithful in covenants with his people. God redeems his people and saves them. All of these things God does. All of these things the psalmist has experienced for themselves in their own life and among their own people. And as we consider the scriptural stories, those of the early church and the followers of Jesus, I don't think most people then would consider ours to be just a philosophy of God. We don't just talk about God. We are not really here to speculate on what God is like, although that can certainly be interesting from time to time. And we should certainly not be projecting our own ideas and and desires on God, although that happens all too often as well. Instead, Scripture is full of stories of how different people have actually experienced the actions of God throughout the generations. That's how we know who God is. They know and trust God because of the things God has done in their lives and the lives of their people. They pass these stories, these experiences, from person to person and from generation to generation. They remember how God had given a child to old Abraham and Sarah and moved them to a new land and called them to be a blessing to all other people. They remember how God had saved his family from famine through the providential position of Joseph in Egypt. They remember how God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt, had guided them through the wilderness, and provided for them with manna and water. They remembered how God had settled them in the promised land. They remembered how God had lifted up judges to lead them and protect them against their attackers in their time of need. They remembered then how God had also anointed David to lead and protect his people as a shepherd cares for the sheep. They remembered how God had raised up prophets to lead the people back to God's ways. All of this God has done. And we believe that God is still doing in our midst. I love hearing people's stories, especially when those stories hold something of this greater story of faith. I remember one time, Marion's dad, Bob, telling me the story of flying a transport full of supplies to Kwajalein during World War II. As the plane was being unloaded, a Navy corpsman came and asked Bob if he was hauling anything back out off of the island. Bob said no, he was going back empty. So the corpsman wanted to show him something. They walked down to a little grove of scrub trees, passing the end of the runway, where under every little scrubby tree, there were two or three litters filled with wounded Marines and soldiers. Bob agreed to take out as many as they could fit on that plane. And they flew back with the plane crowded full. He took some heat for not having enough flotation devices for everyone on board. But who knows how many lives were saved that day because Bob was open to what God was leading him to do. After the war, they were building a house, and Bob had budgeted for various materials and costs. For the same time, the church where they were then members, I think it was the College Park Presbyterian, was undergoing a building campaign. Bob decided that he should contribute towards that because he was an elder in the church. He was a great believer in his ministry in that place. And so he wrote a check for something like $500, a fair amount back in those days, and not knowing then how that would affect his own house project. That was mid-completion. But just a few days later, as he was out working on his own house, a new building supplier showed up and gave him a new estimate on materials. And guess what? It came in at $500 less than he was expecting. So Bob's mantra was, you cannot outgive the Lord. I found Bob to have such a profound belief, not only belief in God, but also that God was very much alive and at work in his own life and in the church and in the world and likely to show up in any moment. Bob was on the way. I also remember Bill Bowling from the Atlanta Community Food Bank coming one time and sharing his story with a little group of ministers that I was in, and how he started this huge operation that now oversees these food distribution centers in something like 20 counties around the state of Georgia. It's a huge operation that I'm hoping everybody will come out and participate in a hunger walk at the end of next month that benefits the Community Food Bank. But Bill was talking about when he was a young man at the time, he really wanted to make a difference in the world, particularly in Atlanta. This was his city. But he didn't know what that would be, what he should be engaging in at the time. But there was this huge faith side of the equation for him. So he said he would go down to the MLK Memorial. He'd ever been there. He's got this beautiful mausoleum there surrounded by this reflection pool. And Bill would walk laps around that place. He would just walk and walk and contemplate this because he was inspired by this man of God to whom this memorial was dedicated, who had done all of these amazing things at God's leading to make a difference, a huge difference in the lives of people if you think in terms of MLK. And so Bill was inspired by that, and he would walk around and around day after day, week after week, thinking and praying. He would talk to his friends. He would go investigate possibilities, get information on different things that were going on. And finally, he felt called to do something significant about the issue of hunger in Atlanta. And the rest is history. Bill is now retired, but to this day, remains a part of a particular Christian community. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he doesn't even describe it as a church. He says it's kind of a gathering, a community, of this close-knit group of brothers and sisters in Christ who are all dedicated in very serious, might even consider sometimes over-the-top ways of doing God's work in various places in Atlanta. They inspire each other. They challenge each other. They give ideas to each other, and they worship together. I think we, like the psalmist, also know and trust God best by discovering and remembering the things that God is doing in our own lives, in our own communities, in the world around us, that we notice those things. We're paying attention to those things. We're listening to God's voice. We hear the stories of what God has done in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they inspire us, and they teach us something about God. Other traditions call these testimonies. I say that quietly. It's kind of a shocking word around these parts, I know. Testimonies. They get a bad name sometimes because they get this slant put on them. They need to have a soul-saving moment here, but in a way it is about something bigger. This is It's about what God is doing in our midst and telling that story to each other. It can make us nervous, but our stories may be the most convincing way we learn and pass on our faith in God and what God is doing in our lives. We also begin to find our own stories within the testimony of those in Scripture, the stories that we read of others who have gone before us. What was their experience of God in their own lives? As Hebrews says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also run with perseverance the race set before us. Sometimes we hear God described with those omni words that are so interesting. God is omnipotent, God is omnipresent, etc., etc., which are all interesting philosophical concepts that cause perhaps as much confusion and questions as they help. It's easy to follow those little rabbit trails, but I think it is much more helpful to us and to others to know that God is the one who walks with us all of our days and knows us intimately. God is the one who heals and gives strength. God is the one who comforts those who mourn. God is the one who loves. God is the one who creates. God is the one who frees and saves. God is the one who provides. God is the one who guides us through life. God is the one who opens doors and sometimes closes them. God is the one who gives life and gives new life when we most need it. This is who God is. We know God best by what God does. I can share my own stories and those experiences in my own life. And I love the way the psalm ends. This was something written above the library doors at Austin Seminary when I was there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's what the psalm says. I'd like to take a few moments here and invite you to do something else that will make you uncomfortable, perhaps. But turn to your neighbor, if you are comfortable with that, and share a story. Share a story, one story, about something that God has done in your life, or that you have seen God do in the life of someone you know. A time that you now look back upon and recognize that God was doing something important there for you, or your loved one, or your